This is Electric Sisterhood podcast episode number 199. A pussy with something to prove?
That's me!
Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming tech gadget and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Hi, how are you? Are you recovering still? Are you
long weekend.
Barbecue.
3-day booze fest.
Yeah, that too. I hope you celebrated responsibly. Because we don't condone underage drinking. We do, however, condone underage readership of our website, which you can view by going to www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use the short address, which is
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce into the long one, and you can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles or just questions for us, you can email us at questions@esh.mobi. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, you can subscribe to it.
Yeah, we are in iTunes. Just look for Electric Sisterhood. And then, bam, podcast, right there. Subscribe button. Hit it. You get the freshness every single week.
And if you don't want to do that, then you can plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. And you can also find some really great shows coming out of the ESH camp.
That's right. I mean, we've got our show that has new episodes every Monday. Then on Tuesday, you get a brand new episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade, which is co-hosted by one of our very own, King Baby Duck, as well as a bunch of other bastards and wenches from the Bostonian area. Then on Wednesdays, you can follow that up with a new episode of Geek Aggro, co-hosted by our very own Deuces Wild. So right there, you've got plenty of geek goodness in podcast form to get you through the week. And then for the rest of the week, well, you've got all the stuff that we write up on all of our respective sites. You can follow us on Twitter. You can engage with us on the Facebook group. You can look at the pictures that we've got in Flickr. You can check out the videos we put up on YouTube. I mean, for real, people, there's not a piece of the internet that we don't have covered. So make sure that you're checking out all that content because we make it for you. Well, maybe a little bit for us, but mostly for you. Mostly. It's like a 90-10 split. Your favorite. All right, 80-20, but still their favorite.
I was going to say 85-15.
Yeah, I didn't think that's a... I think it's more like 80-20.
Okay.
If you think about it. Yeah, that's what I'm going to go with. But it's mostly for them. So make sure that you're checking all of that stuff out. Also, as far as checking things out go, you know, we've been talking back and forth, especially across the network, about different things and secret things, and everyone's been like, what's going on? Well, I'll tell you, we've got a new thing that we're getting ready to unleash.
Upon the world.
We're going to unleash a pox upon the planet. And that pox is going to be the Electric Sisterhood magazine. Yeah, I said it. Magazine. What? In print form. Woot. That you will be able to fork over money for.
Reasonable money. For great content, great reads, and us in paper.
Yes, but not only us. More of us. Okay, not just the ESH crew. Not just the ESH crew plus the B3 crew plus the GA crew. But also a lot of other voices that you probably haven't heard anyplace else that we're going to be bringing forefront. I'm talking arts, music, video games, tech gadgets, animes, digital art, photography, style. Did I already say movies? If I didn't, the movies. If I did, well, shut up. I mean, there's just going to be a crazy amount of just really random things kind of put together in magazine form for your pleasure. So we're going to start.
You like it.
And if you don't, we'll
buy it.
Buy it anyway, and then really make a firm decision, and then you can tell us that you really don't like it. Well, but then you can tell us why you don't like it. And then
we'll make it better.
Yes, or you could stick it where the sun don't shine. I mean, really, your choice. But ESH, is making a magazine. Electric Sisterhood magazine. Gonna be on sale real soon.
Soon.
Make sure you pick up a copy. Maybe pick up a couple of copies. Just saying. Support your local Negroes. All right. So with that said, we need to jump into the show.
Negro Femial Power.
Negro Femial. What?
Power.
Oh, I heard something else. Never mind. Anyway, back to what we do best, which is talk about video games, tech gadgets, and anime. So, Panda, I know that you've been playing a game that I want to play.
Oh, no, you don't.
The child inside me is like, run away, run away, run away.
Oh, no, you don't.
Okay, so I should probably send this one back to GameStop is what you're saying.
You didn't like Silent Hill, right?
Silent Hill scares me. Silent Hill scares me in a way different than Bioshock scares me. Like, Silent Hill just catches me off guard, which I don't like. Bioshock scared the Evan-loving Jesus out of me. I am de-Jesus because of Bioshock and Bioshock 2. So where does Alan Wake that you would fall in?
Well, even on the cover, it said, okay, so everyone's been talking about it. I knew it was going to be a psychological thriller.
Yes.
I did not interpret this as horror because it said psychological action thriller.
Uh-huh.
So it should just be fucking scary.
Right? It's not just...
It's because, you know, you do get a gun. You are shooting people. But it's not, you know, like headshots, heads exploding. Like, think of all the Japanese horror movies that you've probably ever watched. Take the blood out, but keep, like, the long hair, the twitchy faces, and the, you know, 1 minute something's far away from you, and the next minute it's, like, up in your snatch.
I don't like that when that happens. It makes me very uncomfortable in the area.
Yes. So, obviously, yes, I'm talking about Alan Wake, guys, if you didn't figure that out. And, you know, I got it probably in the early evening. I'm like, okay, the sun's still up because we know I have a punk factor. After a certain point of time of day, I will not play scary games.
You punk out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's acceptable.
Yep.
Dealing with the horror, survival horror genre.
So, I mean, I've been dealing with that. So I was like, let me get some playtime in. And Eshmon was there and Bramamon was there. And I'm like, okay, I've got a support system. I got the lights on.
You were feeling confident.
Yep, had taken my pain med, my anti-inflammatory for my leg, had my ice pack.
I'm gonna stop you right there. Maybe possibly taking the pain meds and the anti-inflammatory before you jump into a game that's supposed to be scary might not necessarily be a good combination.
Probably not. So, I mean, my senses were heightened. I mean, it actually comes off more like a TV show when you play through the chapters.
Okay.
So, like, when you finish one chapter and you go into the next one, I should say episodes, they're not chapters, but it was, like, previously on Alan Wake, you know, so, I mean, it engages you in that sense, and immersion is very easy. So, okay. I mean, I'd only played for maybe 2.5 hours, and, I mean, I was freaked out because, you know, if you have an issue with the dark now, don't play Alan Wake.
So if you're scared of the dark or possibly scared of the dark, this is not the game for you.
No, and it's really funny because I am so scared. Like, it's so weird. I mean, you know, I'm not an old woman. I mean, I'm a young adult.
You're a grown-ass person.
Yes, and, you know, and I do have the issue, you know, if I'm in a house that all the rooms are not, you know, like if the lights are not on in every room, I won't go into the rooms that don't have lights on. If I have to go to a place that's really, really dark, I will take a flashlight. Like, Eshmon will blow a fuse, and I'll have to go down into the basement, and I'll run to the little corner that the
Okay, well, I'm going to stop you there, too. Our basement is fracking scary, though.
It is.
That's a scary-ass basement, especially when the damn heater turns on. It has that one red light that shines in the dark. It looks like a cyborg eye. It's a scary-ass basement.
So, I mean, I run over there, I click it, and I run. I don't even look back because I have this strange impression that the minute I look back, I'm going to see something horrific. And that is thanks to everything that I've ever watched my entire life.
Right.
Has taught me to never look behind.
Yeah, so you don't look behind you because that's when you trip.
Look back.
And you fall. That's right. You just keep running. You keep running.
You go.
Yep.
Don't look back. So I don't do that. So, I mean, and this game really kind of sets you up, you know, that, you know, it made me never, I never wanted to turn the camera around for very good reason, because the moment I did during the first episode, the minute I did it, there was this figure. And, you know, it's not like these are like horrific mutations. Like, these are just people, but, you know, they're grayed out and they have distorted voices. So like one minute they talk normal and all of a sudden their voices kind of mutate and it sounds more demonic. So, I mean, it comes off very, it could be more realistic than sci-fi because, you know, it's not like they turn into like a giant mutated plant thing with spores. Like, it's just a person with, you know, hand sickles or a person with an axe or a chainsaw even. Actually, yeah, that happens later on in the game. So, I mean, it's far more realistic that something like this could happen. And it really is creepy.
So, why don't you talk a little bit about what the premise is? Because I think we're all real familiar with, you know, survival horror of stuff jumping out at you. But what is
things don't jump. Things don't jump. Well, I mean, they kind of, they don't really jump per se. But, all right. So, I mean, yeah, I'll give you the premise. So, we have Alan Wake, who was this author. And apparently he wrote some really great books. He hasn't written anything in 2 years, but people are still like, oh, Alan Wake, I want your nutsack, wherever he goes. You know, he's like, I used to be this great writer, and I haven't written shit, and, you know, I just don't have it in me anymore. You know,
Stephen King, go ahead.
Believe it or not, he quotes Stephen King at the beginning of the game. I can't remember the quote right now, but he does, in fact, quote Stephen King at the beginning of the game. Oh, he talks about nightmares and how, you know, in a nightmare, you know, or in horror, the genre, the main character is always asking why. Like, whatever evil he's facing, he's always asking why. And you can't know why. There's no, there can be no answer. It just exists, and it's just something you have to do.
Right.
Which should give you an idea that, you know, you could sit there and ask why throughout this whole game, and I wouldn't expect an answer, which is the point, I think, why they made the reference. So Alan Wake is going to this town for, for vacation with his photographer girlfriend, wife Alice. You know, and he thinks he's just going, you know, to, you know, relax and just get away from, you know, the pressures of coming up with the next book. But, you know, you find out that his wife was talking to this doctor on this, in this town island thing, because most of it's surrounded by water, which you can't swim in. Note. No swimming.
Okay.
Yeah, you can't. You die. I've tested this theory already. So you find out that this doctor treats people with talent, like stars, you know, who have burnt out, per se, and tries to help them reclaim that quality. You know, and Alan has no idea that his wife's been talking to this guy. You know, so, and he's actually really aggressive. You know, I think Alan has some psychological issues, because when anyone tries to confront him, he yells really loud, attempts to break lamps and fails, or punches people in the face.
Attempts to break lamps and fails, or punches people in the face. Yeah. I just want to make sure that I got that sequence correct.
Yes, in that order.
So he can't throw a lamp, but he can throw a punch?
It's really funny. He got really dramatic. I don't remember. I think it was in, beginning of chapter 2. And he's yelling at someone, I'm not going to divulge who. And he's like, roar! And he goes to knock this lamp over. And you're expecting something dramatic, like the light's going to, you know, break. But it doesn't.
Okay. But anyway.
So, you know, apparently, Alan has written this manuscript for this book. And he doesn't remember doing it. And everything that he was writing in this manuscript is coming true in this town.
Okay.
So you've got this weird, you have this weird split psyche thing, because you're in the story that you're writing.
Okay.
And at first he has no idea that that's going on. And it's really funny because there are TVs like in most places. And if you hit a certain point, this TV will come on and you'll see Alan in front of this typewriter writing, you know, and he's talking about, you know, well, I shouldn't really divulge that too much. Anyway, the plot is encased in
what Spoilerlicious is under wraps.
Yeah. So whatever he's doing on the outside of what you're doing in the game is the basis. So, I mean, he's writing what you're doing. And, I mean, he is essentially you. So, I mean, you know what you're doing, but you as the player do not know what you're doing.
Oh, that's not confusing at all.
Oh, no. Oh, no, yeah. No. So this town, Bright Falls, is being overrun by this dark presence, and it's taking people over, and it is taking people. And that's when they're shadowy and they're distorted and they move really fast. And, you know, the only thing you really have to defend yourself is a flashlight and guns. But the guns don't do anything unless you weaken the taken, because they're surrounded by darkness. So they're pretty much immune to your bullets until you use your flashlight to stun.
So you gotta hit them with the light to weaken them so that your bullets will work. Otherwise, yeah. You're fucked.
More or less.
Okay.
And they do have this really good, they have this good mechanic where, like back in Bayonetta, like right before something would hit you, if you dodged it, in Bayonetta.
Like Witch Time, where it would slow down?
You get Witch, yeah. But it's not exactly like Witch Time, because you just dodge the slash or the hit, but it doesn't like put up a trigger and it doesn't slow all time.
Okay.
I mean, you just dodge being hit, which gives you another chance to flash with your flashlight. So, I mean, the flashlight pretty much has infinite power as long as you don't super beam it, because you can intensify the beam. Mm-hmm. But when you do that, you run your battery out. And if that's the case, if you run out of a battery and you don't have an additional battery with you, you have to wait for your flashlight to charge back up, which can spell disaster. So, I mean, it's very...
So, again, without a flashlight, you're fucked.
Yes.
Okay.
In the dark. Now, I mean, there are other areas where there's a giant shining light where if, you know, you happen to get to it, you know, the Taken can't come into it because the light is so pure, it stuns them and usually kills them if you turn it on at the right moment. And so far, I mean, I've only encountered people. I haven't encountered any animals yet. So, I mean, I think the Taken can only be people as far as, you know, I've played through the game. So, I mean, Alan is desperately looking for his wife because she's missing. And that's the premise. He's trying to find his wife. His wife has been taken. He doesn't know by who. I mean, and you're trying to figure all this out. And, I mean, it's very immersive, and I really did enjoy it. There are some hang-ups, though. So, okay. I mean, I'm not coming out and saying that this game is a 10 out of 10. Oh, my God, it's fucking amazing. I like the premise. I like the skewed concept of you writing you in your story to, you know, to... I can't really divulge that.
Right.
So, I mean, you're writing yourself in the story to save humanity, and that's what I'll say. I mean, I love that. I love that split psyche. You think you're going mad. You are mad. Maybe I'm not mad. Like, reality is seriously blurred in this game. And unless you're really paying attention, you know, you don't know which part's real and which part's not, which I really like. You know, and I've always liked those psychological things, which is why I really liked Heavy Rain, which was also a very sick, sadistic...
That game was fucked up. I mean, it was great. It's a great game. That
loved
game
it.
Really fucked
loved
up.
Loved it. Now, the things that I don't like about Alan Wake, I mean, I've had kind of a discussion here. I mean, Remedy went way out of their way to, you know, to bring certain engines to the game. You know, so, I mean, they have the atmosphere of Silent Hill down packed without there even being blood. I mean, that's really a surprise for me, because I was expecting,
so there's
you know,
no goriness in it?
No, because you're shooting these shadowy figures with, you know, a flashlight and maybe one or two bullets, but when you disable them and you, you know, take them out, they disintegrate. So there's no blood anywhere so okay. far. I mean, later on there might be some, but as of right now, I haven't seen a speck of it. I mean, unless it's been on, like, an axe.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, on a ground, but I mean, you don't, like, see it gushing out of everybody.
So it's not a gory...
It's not like, hey, I'm a walking blood sack. Shoot me.
Right.
It's not like that at all, which is, you know.
Although, you gotta admit that a walking blood sack would make an amazing boss to play.
I think so. So.
If done correctly.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, it can't just be gratuitous.
So, I mean, getting back to the things that I didn't like was, I mean, I'm a good fit. I love story. I love voice acting. You know, and I think some of the lines have been overworked though so far. I mean, I'm only in episode... I just started episode 3 earlier today. And, you know, oh, God, Alan Wake is just so tormented by what's going on. And he wants to figure everything out. And, you know, he gets overly emotional and very emo. And he gets angry. And his mouth never moves exactly with the dialogue. He's that upset that he says things before he says things.
That's pretty damn upset.
Yeah. And I'm just like, really? I'm like, you know, they put so much money into this, and they, and you know, the atmosphere, like I said, is great, you know, and they couldn't just, you know, fine tune the mouthing, you know, especially because, you know, there's a lot of, you know, there are cutscenes where there's a lot of exposition going on. There's a lot of details being given, you know, and I'm sitting there staring at a face, and I'm like, that's not what he just said. I'm like, his mouth did not just say that.
Where, those were not the words that were coming out of his mouth.
More or less. And I mean, that kind of bugged me. The mechanics, I mean, there is, like I said, there's that ability to dodge right before you're being hit. You know, and I'm so used to, I've been playing PS3 for so long that my fingers are not used to playing on my Xbox anymore, which obviously sucks because this is an exclusive Xbox 360 title. So I got to get refocused really fast because I've died several times now because I'm sitting there expecting my X button to be on the bottom when it's on the left on the Xbox.
Uh-huh. So you're jumping when you mean to be slashing.
Yeah, it's really, it's hilarious because, you know, the A button is jump in the game. So, I mean, I'm sitting there going, why am I not dodging? And why am I jumping? You know, and I'm like, this is no time to celebrate.
Alan Wake jumps into his own story. And then he jumps out because he's dead.
So, I mean, I really do like it. I mean, it does put me on edge because, you know, you're walking through this dark forest. You know, like, there's a level where you're walking through a forest and you're trying to get to the end of it because you're trying to get to this place to meet somebody. Mm-hmm. You know, and, you know, when you first start walking in, it's still kind of light out. So there's really nothing going on except for the atmosphere. With what, like I said, the atmosphere is clutch here. It's key. And they've got that down packed. And all of a sudden, it starts to get dark. You know, and as soon as that happens, you're like, okay, should probably find a flashlight now. And maybe
find a flashlight? You mean you don't just have one with you all the time?
They don't always give you one.
Oh, or, no.
Yeah, like the chapter I'm about to jump into, I don't have a flashlight. You know, and they make so many references to pop literature. I mean, there are some, like I said, there are some good things. But one other bad thing that I don't like is there's a lot of product placement in the game also. So, I mean, you got a flashlight, says Energizer on it. You got yourself a gun. So, I mean, in all the...
Does it say Smith & Wesson?
No, it doesn't say Smith & Wesson.
Oh.
But all the health, you know, like you see those first aid boxes, like if you were going...
Are they Johnson & Johnson?
No. But when you open it up, you always see lithium batteries, Energizer batteries. I mean, like, and your phone is rising.
Do you have any brand Band-Aids?
Believe it or not, the only person who's patched me up is a doctor during the daytime. Because all the creepy stuff happens at night.
Creepy stuff usually always happens at night, though. Very rare the creepy stuff happens during the day.
So take, let's see, The Forgotten.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Take The Forgotten. Plus, let me see, what's the other one? Darkness Falls.
Uh-oh.
And Silent Hill. Mesh them all up.
Mm-mm.
And put it in a smoothie glass.
Nope.
And infuse it with demonic essence.
No.
So, I mean, but I mean, it's action-packed, and I mean, I want to know the story. And I mean, I'm such a giant pussy, and I'm like, okay, so I can only play this when the sun is up, and I have at least 2 to 3 people in the room. I'm like, and it's only me and Eshmom here, so I'm like, okay, so weekends when I have company.
Pretty much. It's the only safe time to play Alan Wake. Weekends.
But I love it. But, you know, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, I want to play more of it. Like, I mean, the story is worth, you know, listening to dialogue that's not placed right and staring at my Verizon phone, which I think is really funny because every time I've had a Verizon phone, I've never had service. But Alan Wake... You know, every time
it's great service.
It's going to just be ringing.
Balls. It's like, you know, the hub of the Verizon network.
So, I mean,
a drop call.
But I mean, I think Remedy is onto something in terms of this storyline. I mean, they've already kind of come out and said that this isn't going to be the first type of experience that we're going to get with their games. I think they're planning to expand this into a series of games. With the same kind of essence, which I'm looking forward to. I mean, and this is their first attempt at this. I mean, they did make Max Payne. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I haven't seen any serious Max Payne mechanics thus far. But like I said, I'm still very early on in the game. I know they're giving downloadable content straight away in the pack. I haven't downloaded it yet. I haven't looked at it yet. But I'm saving that because I want to get the story out of the way first. And then I have to go back because I know I didn't say this before, but... Like I said, the story's being written while you do it. I mean, there's an option. There are these pages that you need to collect for this manuscript. of the story. And I mean, you can get them and you can choose right then and there to read them. And if you choose to read them while you're doing the story, if you find them all, they will tell you what's going to happen to you or what you're going to come across before you come across it. So, I mean, the first two chapters that I played, I was reading every manuscript page that I found. I think there's 106 of them. And so far, I only have like 25, and I've missed several. I already know. But, you know, now that I'm in this second to third chapter.
But do you really want to know the story before you complete it?
Well, that's the thing. When I was first doing it, I was just like, oh, great. So I know something's going to happen. Like I said, they give you the option to read it. You don't have to. So, I mean, I've stopped reading the pages. Because I just want to see where the story is going to take me without knowing ahead of time. I mean, for someone who might not feel too comfortable or might be really on edge, I think that's what Remedy is trying to do for people who might, you know, have a pussy factor, who are like, I don't want to go out there. Oh, look, a page. All right, I will come across, you know, he fell into the darkness as they descended upon him. Okay, so I'm going to be attacked. And then what?
See, at that point, I'd just be like, you know what? I don't really feel like going out today. I'm just going to save my game.
It is hilarious. And there's an autosave feature, so you don't have to manually save, which I think is
awesome. Oh, I do love that.
It's awesome, because there have been a couple times where I've gotten, you know, hacked up, and I'm like, fuck. And I'm like, oh, save point. And it's really, I really kind of like the save points, because they're usually under a giant lamp. And like I said, they can't come into the light. So, you know, I was searching through an area, and Nesh Mom's like, where are you going? I'm like, I got to go over there. She's like, I don't like over there. I'm like, I don't like over there. You know, but I saw something that, you know, I saw a pull tab, you know, like a generator.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, ooh, I'm like, there's a light over there. And before thinking, I sprint over to it, and like four guys came out of the darkness, like just materialized, because that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm sitting there like, oh, shit. You know, so I'm pulling the pull thing, and as they're getting closer to me, all of a sudden the light comes on and it completely obliterates them, you know. And Mom's just kind of like, well, aren't you a lucky shit? And I'm like,
yeah, I meant to do that.
I'm like, that skill. I'm like, using save points as weapons. But I mean, I like where this is going. I seriously do. And I can't wait to see the type of story that Alan Wake wrote. Because so far, if I saw this book, like, at Barnes & Noble's, I'd be like, that looks like an interesting read. Not going to touch it.
I don't know. The little problem that I have with the artwork of the game, because after listening to you talk about it, I'm definitely not putting it in my Xbox. It's heading back to GameFly. But,
pussy. Just kidding.
Okay, I freely own it. Okay, I'd much rather be able to sleep than not. But I have difficulty with, you know, the game artwork. I mean, I know what they were going for, but I really thought, like, the box art really didn't do the game itself any favors. I feel like it looks like a Dean Koontz cover.
And that's the point, because he's an author, and he writes...
I know.
He writes what Dean...
But I feel like it should be in Alan Wake's style and not Dean Koontz's style. You know what I mean?
But I think Koontz and Wake are the same person.
No! Dun, dun, dun. Dean Koontz is a pussy, so yeah, I said it.
Which is why Alan Wake is a pussy with a flashlight. Get it?
Oh, I get it now. Yeah, I'm still not going to play it. So let me ask you this. After all said and done, buy, rent, don't waste your time.
Okay, well, I mean, this really kind of depends. If you're a giant mega pussy, now I'm not a mega pussy. But I'm a pussy.
I'm not a mega pussy. I'm just a pussy that knows my role.
If you, all right then, if you're a mega pussy who knows their role.
Oh, you know what? Fuck you.
And knows their role, then I would say, just to see, I would say rent it. Now, if you are a pussy who has something to prove, like me, you buy it and you make yourself play it. Because, I mean, the more I've been playing it, the less, you know, the less freaked out I'm getting by where they're coming from.
Okay.
Because the more you get comfortable with it, obviously, you know, the more acclimated you're going to be to the game and the less freaked out you're going to be. So, I mean, I'm getting more and more acclimated and I'm getting more and more used to the game. So I'm not nearly as freaked out as I was when I first, you know, I was like, holy shit, what was that? Like, I was freaking out. Like, I was like, okay, I think I'm done now. Like before,
that's how I pretty much got halfway through BioShock.
before I realized that the lampposts were like save points, I was like, where's the save? Where is it? I don't want to go out there. You know, and I'm like, well, I have to, because, you know, if I don't, the story's not going anywhere. And
it's kind of my job to go out there, really.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, if you got something to prove and you have issues, like, I mean, I'm not saying that this game's going to make me, you know, stand in dark places and look behind my shoulder. In fact, it's probably going to, you know, for a week or so after I play it, make me even more scared to look behind me. But it's something I got to do. And, I mean, if you really like a story, then you have to put your fear behind you. So, for those people, I'd say buy it. Worst case scenario, you can always, you know, exchange it or give it to a friend that you don't like and you want to scare. Or, like, you know, you can donate it to starving kids in Africa who might attempt to eat it. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do with it. It's very versatile, I think. You know, but, I mean, if you've never had an issue with survival horror or even suspense horror or psychological action thrillers, then this is a buy. So, I mean, it really depends on
who. But overall, I mean, you got to make a decision. Overall, for you.
For me, I bought it. But I got something to prove. So far, I like it. Like, am I freaked out by a lot of things going on in it? Yes, but I'm still playing through them because I want to know the story. And so far, I do think that the story is worth it.
Okay, fair enough. So that's Alan Wake, available.
But if you're broke, then rent it.
Well, but that can be said about just about every video game that we talk about. If you're broke, rent it. Don't buy it, fool. Get your baby some Wake milk. Come on.
But if you got money, buy it. I don't think you'll be disappointed.
All right. So that's Alan Wake, the Xbox 360, one of the few Xbox 360 exclusives to come out in a while.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah. So that's interesting. All right, is that it? Is that all you got?
Yeah,
you done?
Yeah, that's all.
Those are the thoughts that were running around in your head?
Oh, and by the way, everybody who was concerned about me over the last, you know, week, thank you very much for the support and the caring, nurturing words of kindness.
Yes, it is appreciated.
I'm done.
Okay. I actually finally played Nier, which is a Square Enix action RPG. And you know how much I like action RPGs as opposed to turn-based RPGs.
Oh.
So I thought that I would take a crack at it.
Now, Nier!
We had talked about Nier. We had actually seen the teaser trailer at E3 when we were there last week. I'm really looking forward to E3 this year, and I'm just totally spacing out right now. But we checked out Nier, and basically the game was being developed by Cavia. I always forget how you say their name. But they had done some of the Drakengard games. So if you weren't familiar with them, if you played any of those on the PS, PlayStation system and PlayStation 2, then you're familiar with the kind of style. And they developed the game for Square Enix. And you know how much we love Square Enix. I mean, even though I love
Square Enix.
I hate turn-based games. I do love the attention to detail and the overall style of Square Enix. Okay, that I have never hated on. But I just don't like turn-based video games. I want to do turn-based, I'll play a board game. Anyway, got Nier, and the basic story of Nier is the main character, who is named Nier, is trying to find a cure for what's called the Black Skrull virus. Now, I'm going to take a little sidestep here because you're like, a cure for who? Does he have it? No. But depending upon whether you're in the U.S. or you're in Japan, or I should say whether you're playing the U.S. version or the Japanese version, who he's getting the cure for changes. And the character of Nier changes a little bit. So originally the game was just called Nier. Then because the powers that be decided that maybe this wouldn't necessarily reach the audience that they want it to, they created two versions of the game. There's Nier Gestalt and there's Nier Replicant.
Okay.
Replicant is the Japanese version of the game, and Gestalt is the U.S., North America, English-speaking version of the game. In the English-speaking version of the game, which is just known as Nier, am I confusing you yet? The character of Nier is an older, gruffier guy, an older man, probably, late 30s, early 40s, and he's searching for a cure for his daughter, Yona.
Yona? Like Yona. Yuna?
No, not like Yuna. Yona. It's spelled like
Juna.
But no, it's spelled like Jonah.
Okay.
But with a Y. So it's Younah. Okay. And she's a little girl in the U.S. version. North America, English speaking. In Replicant, he's searching for a cure for his sister. And in Replicant, Nier is a younger character and a smaller character and is not as gruffy. Exactly. And they did that because they thought that that would appeal to the Japanese market more than the gruffy older guy, and that the Western side of the world would more gravitate toward older guy trying to find a cure for his daughter. Okay. I think it's bullshit. I think that they really just needed to make the one version of the game. And I think that either way that you would have picked it, the game probably would have gotten the same response. So you haven't heard a lot about Nier because most of the people that have actually played through it and reviewed it have felt either really, really strongly one way or another. And those two strong feelings are either it's really, really boring and it could have been great, or it's really, really good and not appreciated for what it is. So I'm going to break it down. I've been playing this game for 2 days as of the time that we are actually recording this podcast.
Okay.
I have spent one mission searching for sheep and slaughtering them to get mutton, to run back to town to give to the shopkeeper so he can sell the mutton, just to tell me that he needs more mutton, but I can't carry more than 3 pieces of mutton, so I have to go back out to the field to get some more mutton. Second time I went out to get the mutton, I got bucked by one of the sheep.
You got bucked by a sheep?
Yeah, he totally kicked up his hind legs. I didn't know that they could attack.
Did he buck you in the buck?
He didn't buck me in the buck, but after he bucked me, he turned around and then he rammed me.
Was it a ram or a ewe?
It was a ram. It wasn't a ewe. I don't kill baby sheep.
That's no, ewes are girl sheep.
Well, they all had horns. They all had little curly horns.
Then they were rams. They were not ewes.
I didn't say they were ewes. I said they were sheep. They're fucking woolly sheep.
But it's a ram.
It has fur. It has wool and mutton. It was a sheep. So anyway. It was. Follow with me.
Okay, fine.
Okay, just stay all with me. It's a video game. It's not real life. Follow along. So you go out and there are these shades. Now, this is the mission actually within the game. This is probably about the second mission you're in. Because the first mission you're in doesn't make any damn sense. Okay? The game starts out, it's really cold. It looks like the time period you're in is like present day, but kind of post-apocalyptic. You're in this building that's falling apart. Your poor daughter's over in the corner coughing up a lung and attracting these shades. And you hear this voice that is like, I will give you the power to save your daughter. All I require is your soul in return. You know, and then you see Nier in a hoodie that very much reminds me of the hoodies that what do you call it? The 13 wear in Kingdom Hearts.
Okay.
And he's got this pipe and he's just like, damn, goddamn book. I will say that there's a lot of swearing in this game. It makes me very happy. And then he fights these beings that are swirls of golden and blackened words, and they're called shades. And you have no idea where the shades come from or why, but you're trying to kill them, and it's basically your introductory of how to use the controls in the game level. And that goes pretty quickly. And you literally go, in the course of the two battles that you have, from a level of like 1 to, I think I maxed out like 32 or 33 before I beat everything that was on the screen. And some of it was really tedious. And you wind up back trying to take care of your daughter, and she keels over, and you realize that she too has done something with the book. And then all of a sudden you're flashed back or forward, I can't remember which, like 1300 years. And now you're kind of like on a hillside in a town, and it's all rural, like feudal Japan or some shit. And you're just like, wait a gosh damn minute. What just happened? 1 minute ago, I was like in a city, like urban, like New York, destroyed, fighting things. And now I'm fucking in the Sound of Music. Like, what is going on? Can I get a refresher, please? No refresher. None. You're in this little village. There are people singing old songs about shit. Your daughter's still sick. And you live in, like, this two-story castle that, you know, you only see from the side when you walk in it. So it's kind of weird. It's like looking into a dollhouse. When you walk up the stairs, you're just like, okay, all right.
Okay.
But the game is kind of interesting. You go about basically trying to save your daughter. She runs off to the shrine because you were telling her a bedtime story about how there's this lunar tear thing that, you know, can grant any wish, and so she thinks it can make her better. So somehow she gets into the shrine, which, by the way, takes you forever to get into. You're like, how the fuck did that bitch get into the center of the shrine? Then you had to fight these big beetle things, and you free a book, and you think it's the book that you saw in the beginning. Now, I haven't finished this game, but I have a feeling it's not. Okay? The book can talk. For whatever reason, it talks with an English accent. Nobody else in the game talks with an English accent, but the
book. Wait, was it a bunny person? Because, I mean, in Final Fantasy
XII. No, it's not a bunny person.
Because the bunny people had British-ish accents.
No, it's a book. It's a
book. The book has an accent?
Yes. And the book is named Grimoire Weiss.
Grimoire or Grimoire?
Grimoire.
Okay.
Okay. Because he talks and he introduces himself. So that's what the book said his mama named him. That's what I'm going to call him.
Alrighty then.
Okay, so you use the book and he's kind of rusty at trying to remember spells and gives you some extra powers, mostly long range magical things that you can do with words. And then you spend time killing more shades to find the words and the sacred pages of Grimoire, because you learn the lesson that there are two books, one of light, the Grimoire Weiss, and one of dark, the Grimoire Noir. Yeah, say that three times fast.
Yeah, no, yeah. I'll pass.
Okay, and you pretty much figure out that somehow someone has released Grimoire Noir on the world, and that's what's contributing to these shades showing up every place. And for some reason, they have this really, 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 really intense like of trying to get a hold of your daughter, which you're not happy about.
Well, of course not. That means
the library really isn't much help. You think she knows more than she really does, but she don't want to tell you shit. So that's pretty much the story. There's some characters in the game. I haven't gotten to one of them, but one of the characters is named Kane. And Kane, you know, very much like Square Enix is known to do, is a character that's a female character that's not necessarily wearing a lot of clothes. She's just wearing enough to cover up what needs to be covered up so that you don't have to give the game an AO rating.
Pasties!
Pasties! But Kane is kind of special because Kane is, well, might be a hermaphrodite.
Oh, whoa. Just put a hat on it.
Yeah.
Work with one or the other.
Well, whatever you're not working with. For a long time, Square Enix was catching a lot of heat for that. And so originally the character of Kane was just going to be in the Japanese version. But when you start the game, which really made me excited about it, is it starts with a cinematic. But before the cinematic launches, you hear this voice screaming at Vice to get up, to wake up, and start swearing, you know, about how he could get hypnotized by the goddamn Shadow Lord. And, oh, Shadow Lord this, I love you, Shadow Lord that, I love you, da-da-da-da-da. And then she goes on to basically get his head out of the shitter and start fucking helping. And I was like, yes! I'm not even a minute into this game and the word fuck has been used. I'm happy. This is just going to get better from here on out. So far, that hasn't happened.
Ow.
And here's how I'm going to break it down. The idea is really great. Okay? You've got, again, your really, really just dedicated protagonist character. Okay, not going to stop for anything. I mean, it's one of the things that gets annoying after a while about Nier is that he makes it really clear that nothing is going to stand in the way of him finding a cure for his daughter. Like, come hell or high water, it's going to happen. And he'll make sure that he can mention that more times than you really want to hear or read. But some of the mechanics just don't work. They feel like they were added on because someone went, oh, this is a Square Enix game, we need to have it. Like, there are far more run and fetch missions than there really needs to be. Okay. All right. Like, I go into town. All I want to do is buy a sword. But first I have to talk to the blacksmith. And the blacksmith is like, oh, I need blah, 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 blah. And you're like, oh, shit. All right.
That happens in Alan Wake, too. Like, oh, my God, you should go turn on the light because I heard in this page that something horrible is going to happen. Go turn on the light. And you go to turn on the light. And as you do that, you hear the dude that just told you to go there screaming because he is now dead. And so is his dog.
I hate it when they kill the dogs, man. You don't have to kill the dog.
Me too.
You don't have to kill the dog. You know, all right, kill the person, but you don't have to kill the dog. You know, and so then I run and get the thing for the blacksmith, and I come back, and oh, he's so grateful, but he doesn't have a lot that he could give me, so he gives me like $60, which doesn't help me buy the $16,000 sword that I really want to buy. So I'm like, bitch, if you really wanted to give me something useful, you could have given me the bomb-ass sword, but no, I gotta buy the wimpy-ass sword and hope that I can kill the damn things I need to kill. Oh, and get some more sheep, because the butcher needs more mutton, you know, and, oh, this person needs an egg, so now I've got to find a chicken. And then I get told, oh, well, actually, the chickens lay eggs, but I think they hide them. So now you've got crafty chickens. It's not even just regular chickens. Crafty chickens that are hiding the eggs. So you can't even just walk up to a chicken and expect, oh, there'll be an egg soon. No, that motherfucker's gonna hide the damn egg. So now you gotta go talk to everybody else in the town to find the one person who knows where the chickens tend to hide their fucking eggs. And of course, all those other people have all their own problems that they want you to solve. So now I have like a side quest list that's like 25 things long. And all I wanted to do was find a stupid egg and find the stupid thing for the blacksmith so they would leave.
All you wanted to do was find an egg and then get the mutton and get the bomb ass sword.
That's all I wanted to do. Instead, now I'm looking for a music thing. I'm looking for an egg. I'm just like, what the? Okay, you know what? Screw all you hippies. I'm just going to go and try to find some shades. I think that if they had just really let the fetching piece aside, because it's not as deeply thought out as the side quests in Fable.
Okay.
Which it feels to me like that's what they were going for. To try and pick the pieces of action RPGs that the Western audiences like and blend them well with the pieces of RPGs that Eastern audiences like and try to come up with a game that kind of meets people in the middle. And unfortunately, I think they focused on the wrong things, at least on the Western side, that focused way too much on those pieces. You know, I was reading some stuff on the internet, and one person put it really well from Kevin Van Ord, who writes on GameSpot, and he said, you get the impression that 10 hours of promising content was mercilessly stretched into a 30-hour marathon of fetch quests and squandered potential. And, you know, after I read that, after, you know, playing for as long as I have to kind of agree. It feels like if they had left some of those pieces out, Nier would have been a solid, if not spectacular, 10-hour game. And there's nothing wrong with a 10-hour game.
No, absolutely not.
Okay, everything doesn't have to be epically long to be epic.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't know why anyone that makes an RPG or an action RPG doesn't or can't quite get that. It doesn't have to be an 80-hour long Final Fantasy game for me to, at the end of it, feel like, one, I've been treated to a great story, two, that I've been treated to a great experience, three, that it was really worth it, and four, I can't wait to do it again. It doesn't have to be that. Because in all honesty, the ones that are there are the ones I don't get through because they're so epically long that it gets tedious. And I think that's the piece that they miss with the Western audience, is that repetition doesn't really sit well with us.
Not with all of us, anyway. There are some people who absolutely enjoy that stuff.
Okay, for instance, all right, if you play Burnt Time, okay, you're basically doing the same thing over and over again. You're trying to run up these pillars and avoid the little monsters so that you can build whatever the hell it is you want to build, okay? Basic platformer like Donkey Kong. But because the structure of the levels change and how you move about and how the enemies come about that you move makes it feel like it's not tedious, when in fact you're doing the same thing over and over and over again. Okay, but when it comes to fetch missions, and this I think happens in a lot of video games, not just RPGs, but when it comes to fetch missions, okay, it's either really got to be spontaneous, and it's got to be new every time, or not done at all. Okay, I don't want to know that the moment I walk into a town and everybody has a bubble over their head, it's not because they want to sell me something, which is all I really want them for. I just need to buy some shit from you. I don't need to get your whole life story. I don't give a damn. I don't have time. My daughter's dying. Fuck you and sell me the big sword. But they miss that. And so, you know, I already know that I've got a lot of levels that that's going to happen with. There are also some mechanics that I'm not really happy with. I do like the fact that in the game you can go into the options and you can tweak the sensitivity both on the Y plane and on the X coordinate plane, which is really nice because a lot of battles that you're going to go into it, the camera is actually going to be placed on the side of the battle. And so you're going to see your characters very small.
Okay.
And you're going to be basically a spectator in the fight as opposed to visualizing the fight from the perspective of your character Nier. Which makes for an interesting mechanic as well, because you've got this disassociation in space. So a lot of times I find myself jumping in a third dimension because I think that that would then move me forward, but it doesn't. But what's really nice is it's almost impossible to jump off of the environment and die. I appreciate that.
Invisible wall.
Exactly. There's an invisible wall right here. Go ahead and jump. Go ahead. You can't jump off it. Go ahead.
Well, that's nice because in Alan Wake, you're like, oh, I need to jump onto this. I mean, there's a bit of platforming in it too. And I was trying to jump onto something and I jumped off, hit it, but then moved forward and hit this rock and I was slowly falling down it. And the minute I hit water, I died. And I'm just like, no invisible
wall. Alan Wake can't swim.
Nope.
You're like the Don't Wicked Witch of the East. You get wet and you're like, what a world! So, you know, I mean, it's got the standard good versus evil battle. I have a feeling that because my book, even though he speaks with a British accent, he's actually really condescending a lot of the time. So I have a feeling that my good book, my white book, isn't necessarily good all the time. And seeing as how the opening of the damn game has the chick cussing it out, I'm guessing it's going to betray me at some point in time.
Maybe it's not necessarily a betrayal. I mean, if there's a black book and a white book, maybe the white book doesn't really believe in fighting, but believes in being passive. And at a time where you're expecting it to fight for you, it refuses to. I mean, there's different types of betrayal in that regard.
If my kid dies, it's a betrayal that I'm going to kill you for. But I would definitely say that if you like RPGs at all, this is not the game for you.
Oh, wow. See, that's good. Because I was eyeing it when I went and got Alan Wake. I'm like,
yeah. As far as a purchase goes, if you're an RPG lover, this isn't the game for you because you don't manage HP, you don't manage your life stuff. I mean, there's item collection in the game, and you can collect words, which give you more power, and basically are the ways that you build up your weapons and you build up your strength. But if you are used to that classic collection of items and collection mechanics and party things, this is not the game for you because that doesn't happen. At one point in time, Kane does come into the storyline and accompanies you on some things, but there's no big party thing. It's pretty much you as Nier trying to save your daughter. If you enjoy action games and wished, oh my God, I wish they had like some elements of collection games, then you should probably rent Nier. I'm going to give it a strong rent because you should at least try it. It's something different. It really is trying to bridge that gap as far as the RPG market goes between East and West. And I give it points for that because the audiences are so unique. It's very difficult to find something that just, you know, across both continents, both hemispheres, I should say, hits and reaches everyone the same way. It's almost impossible. But I give Square Enix and Kavya credit for trying. You know, I will probably play this game through until I complete it because I want to know, one, who has Grimoire Noir? Because I think I have an idea, and if it's who I think it is already, I'm going to be really pissed. Can I save my daughter? And what are those FMVs going to look like? Because let's face it, Square Enix makes the fucking best FMV.
Yes, that's true.
Hands down, they make the best. So if for nothing else, I'm going to get through this game to see all of those things. So I highly, highly recommend that you rent Nier and give it a play if you haven't already. And dumb down your sensitivity because he's a jumpy bitch.
Jumpy?
Oh, yeah. Like, you'll hit the jump button, and he'll, like, double jump for no reason. If you have the sensitivity too hard. You're like, what the? Oh. Good thing I can't fall off that cliff. I'd be really pissed right now.
I'm very happy that you gave, you know, turn-based a try. I know you don't really like it, so.
It's not turn-based. That's the thing I love about it. It's not turn-based. It's an action.
Yeah, but it's RPG, though, and you absolutely hate them. So
I hate turn-based RPG. Okay, I like Kingdom Hearts because it was action-based.
Well, you're just saying that there's, like, barely any action going on because you're running around Aaron Boy.
Yes, right now I'm Aaron Boy, which pisses me off.
Well, technically Aaron Man,
because I'm not in Japan playing the version where I would be Aaron Boy. But I did get to, you know, chase down some sheep, rams, whatever, get some mutton. I fought a few shades. The beetle battle was no joke. I'm not even going to lie. You really have to get your timing down to take down some of the bigger bosses. It does take a lot of effort. I'm not going to ruin the mechanic, but you really need to be a dead shot if it's going to work out for you at all. Make sure that you get your questions in for Eshmom because she's waiting to answer them for you. We'll put those pieces up on the end of the podcast. Maybe we'll even put them up on the website. Who knows? So submit your questions. At esh.mobi. Let us know it's a question for Eshmom. We'll get that in front of her. Get her answer. Get her take. And if you want to check out some other interesting stuff, make sure that you keep visiting us on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. Or you can use the short address, which is
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce you to the long one, and you can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles, or even questions for us, you can email us at questions@esh.mobi. And if you aren't a part, if you're not listening to us on iTunes, well, you can always subscribe.
Yes, hit the subscription button. It'll do you a favor and me a favor, because that way you'll get fresh eshness every week unencumbered.
And if you don't want to do that, one, you don't have to. We can't, put you to gunpoint. But you can check us. You can plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. And there's also some really great shows coming out of the ESH camp, too.
That's right. Make sure that you check them out. Support your local fam. You can listen to our show, which comes out every Monday with some newness. Then on Tuesday, to follow us up, is the Boston Bash Brigade, which their podcast is co-hosted by our very own King Baby Duck. So you've got that on Tuesday. Hitting you on Hump Day is a new episode of the Geek Aggro podcast, which you can listen to that has our very own Deuces Wild doing the co-host thing. So right there, you've got three podcasts full of nerdy goodness getting you through most of the week. And, well, we also have all the stuff that we have on our respective sites. So make sure that you stop by, that you bookmark them, that you check what we were doing out. Comment. We actually like getting those things and respond to them wherever we can, all that good stuff. You can do all the social networking stuff because we're everywhere on the internet. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're on the YouTubes, and you should definitely check out our YouTubes because we have some fun YouTubes, as well as Flickr. So you can find all of that at electricsisterhood.com/socialize. So I think that's pretty much all the business, with the exception of a reminder that we do have the magazine going on sale soon. Electric Sisterhood magazine, featuring a lot of the voices that you know from our crew and some of the voices that you have yet to hear, but they're going to be coming soon. So make sure that you keep checking out the website. We'll have some details up as soon as that sucker's ready for sale. You can buy a copy. You can buy 10 copies. I'm not going to limit you. Because that
was
wrong.
I'm glad.
So we're doing lots of big things. E3's around the corner. Episode 200 of the podcast. Next week, it's going to be a big one. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say about that.
It'll be huge.
Look, that podcast is going to be hung like a horse. I'm going to say it. It is.
That podcast size is going to make your girlfriend look and say, why can't you be that big?
That's what's going to happen. That's what's going down.
What's going to happen. It's gonna be,
I want to warn you now. Table,
and she'll be like,
oh,
you're not even.
Oh.
You're not even.
Yeah, what's going on. But that's okay, because you're going to love
true.
It. You're going to love it. You're going to love it. So, Panda, do you have anything you want to disclose?
No, I actually don't have anything to disclose. I want to disclose that I have nothing to disclose.
Okay, that's a fair disclosure to make. I would like to disclose that I am okay with video game characters being hermaphroditic.
Good.
I don't have a problem with that.
Okay.
I'm Ninja Sister.
What would you do for... Oh, and I'm Pandalicious.
Yeah, we're not going there. I know you wanted to, but I'm cutting you off.
I did. All right.
We are out, people.
Bye, everybody.